We have been going through the book of Proverbs, as you know, and we've been looking at what it means to live in wisdom, to live rightly, as we put it more specifically. And today the title that I've put for today's reflection is Wise Hearts, Hearts That Are Wise. Last week, if you remember, we looked at wise hands, to be wise in what we do, like in our work, whether it's employment, like paid work or otherwise, we live and we do things with our hands, we work. And the focus last week was to on how we might do work, do things with our hands that are wise and benefit the world. And the three things that came out of that reflection was to have diligence, to do it in a spirit of service, and also to know how to rest. So those were the three characteristics of wise hands as we look from the book of Proverbs. Today we turn to something a bit more interior, if you like, wise hearts. And I think the reason why I put these two, wise hands and wise hearts, kind of putting them together, is to emphasize that both elements are crucial. I think there can be a tendency to think that it's all that we do that's important, like what you act, how you act in the world, your actions, that's all that's important. Your works, that's all that's important. Yes, it's important, but that's not the only thing that's important. Also, on the flip side, there's tendency to think that it's all that's in your heart that matters, like your feelings or your intentions, motivations, that's all that matters, even if it doesn't translate into your actions. Yes, motivations obviously are important, but it must also reflect in your works, in your hands. So I think these two, wise hearts and wise hands, have to go together. You cannot emphasize only one side of this of that dynamic, because as we will see in today's text, these two are deeply integrated together. So let us look at the text that we're focusing on, Proverbs chapter 4, 10 to 27. It's not clicking. Can you just click it on the slide here? Yeah, there you go. I think it should work now. Okay, that's fine. Proverbs chapter 4, we'll first read 18 to 27. So this is from the NIV, I believe, and I'll just read this. You can follow along if you can see the screen, otherwise on your devices or your Bible. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to your word, to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the plans for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Here you see that there's at the center of these few verses, the focus on the heart in verse 23. The heart, everything that we do flows from the heart, as Proverbs puts it. Our actions, if you see the everything else that kind of surrounds the heart, you see that something about the mouth and the lips in verse 24, you've got something about your eyes, and 25, 26, you've got your feet. All that we do flows out of the heart, as the book of Proverbs put it. But the idea of heart needs a bit of unpacking, because the way we understand heart today in the modern notion is quite different from the way the Bible talks about the heart. Because I think speaking with a very broad sweep here, but generally when you talk about heart, you're usually referred to the emotions, right? The feelings. So it's the head is for the thinking and the will. The heart is for the emotion, the feeling, you know, like the impulsive stuff. Like, so when people say like, follow your heart, what they usually mean is, you know, your head tells you something, your head tells you that it's the right thing to do, but your heart wants to go there. So follow your heart. So it's like head and heart is like put in opposition. Like it's the unthinking part of who you are that you impulsively jump into and do things, right? Of course, the notion of falling in love, it's I mean, that's so far from the truth that you don't fall into love, like you stay in love or whatever, right? I mean, there's an element of the notion of heart is usually and mistakenly understood as the thing that you do impulsively without thinking. In the Old Testament, in the Bible, that's quite different. In fact, in the Old Testament, the word for heart is even sometimes translated as your mind. It's got an intellectual and a thinking component. The heart is not impulsive. It's thinking. It's the part that thinks and makes decisions properly. And it is the part that you kind of influences everything else that you do. The metaphor that's used in verse 23, from the heart, everything you do flows from it. This comes from the metaphor of a wellspring, a spring from which water bubbles out and it forms a river or stream or whatever. The heart is like the source where all these actions, all these things flow out. So it's not the impulsive kind of like unthinking, unreasonable kind of emotional feeling kind of actions. It's very much to do with your heart. In fact, in the Bible, the heart is sometimes, the word that's translated as heart is also translated as belly, your stomach. Because it has to do with hunger, appetite, right? So there's one place, I think in Colossians, where it says, with compassionate hearts. It can also be translated as with compassionate stomachs, compassionate belly, or compassionate appetite, right? So it's not the unthinking kind of thing, it's the appetite, it's the desire, what drives our actions in life, what makes you do the things that we do daily, intentions. Also in the Bible, it is said that God sees the heart. Sometimes the heart can be hard to understand because it's hidden sometimes with mask, with pretensions. We do things without intending, but we hide it behind all these masks, and sometimes it's hard to see. But God, it says that God can see the heart. God can see the deepest part of who you are. So you might think of the heart as the who you are when you are when all the pretensions and when all the masks are removed. Who you really are, if you like, inside. Your being, your whole being, who we truly are. It's not just the impulsive, but the thinking, the reasoning, the intentional part of who you are when all the masks and pretensions are removed. And what's fascinating about this text here is that verse 24, 25, 26, 27, the other parts of your body, your mouth, your lips, your eyes, your feet, your path, kind of flows out of the heart. So the heart is the deepest core of who we are. Everything that we do emerge out of that heart, that reality. The wellspring of life. Everything flows out of the activity. There's an American theologian called, his name is James K. Smith. I might have referenced him in other sermons as well. But he talks about how the actions that we do in life are very often, if not always, very often more to do with our desires, our appetites, our what we want, what we love, rather than what we think. It's not so much our will, our knowledge that influences what we do. It's what we want to do, what we desire to do, our heart, if you like, that ends up influencing what we do in life. It's instinct, if you like, that influences what we do in life. And of course, Proverbs chapter 4 is a profound reflection on our heart and our life and all these things that we have been saying. So, in fact, I'm just going to go back to verse 10 of chapter 4. And this bigger picture gives us a very interesting reflection on the heart and how our heart affects our life. Okay, so I'm just going to read this 10 to 17 as well. Listen, my son, accept what I say. And the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way, for they cannot rest until they do evil. And they are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. What stands out in this depiction is the imagery of walking, of daily progressive walking. You're walking on a path and it takes you somewhere. There's an ultimate destination, but it's a journey that you walk in every day and regularly on a regular basis. And what this refers to are our daily habits, our habitual routines and the things that we do on a daily basis. I think what this is saying is our heart and our daily habits, are the things that we do daily, are closely tied together. I'm going to use the example that pastor from New York, Timothy Keller, some of you might know him. There's one sermon that I always go back to, and it's called The Wellspring of Wisdom. And in this sermon, he talks about, he reflects on his own life, and he finds that as he grows older, he was becoming more bitter. He was finding it hard to be optimistic and joyful in, like his younger days. He was becoming more bitter. And he realized that it was because the daily habits become consolidated and it starts to influence his character. He gave an example of a young man who committed a terrible crime. And when somebody asked the young man, "Why did you do that?" Everyone thought that he would say, "Oh, it was that moment, like something wrong happened and it just erupted and I just got angry and did that crime." He didn't say that. He said it was the small steps of giving in to the impulses, giving in to the wrong action, the small actions that ultimately led up to the big crime, the big action. And Timothy Keller, he reflects on his own life and he says that something like that was happening in his own life. He was walking on a path, as the metaphor says, walking on a path of darkness, and he didn't realize it, but it was the routine, the long view, the bitterness was growing and it was leading on. And the longer he walked on that path, it was making him even more bitter and dark. The small events fixed up his character and his destiny, if you like. I thought that was a really interesting, very profound understanding of how our will, our actions, and ultimately our heart works. Here it says, if our heart is set on the wrong things, every day we will do small things that ultimately compound to what Proverbs says, the way of darkness, the road of darkness. It is the habitual small steps that ultimately fixes our character. And Timothy Keller even says our destiny, because he's got something else coming later about the gospel. The key to change, according to one theologian, St. Augustine, the key to change is not to have a strong will, it's not so much the act of the will, but it's about the love of the heart, what we love, what we desire. That changing that only can bring change, according to St. Augustine. And I think there's a certain truth and profoundness to that. If our heart is set on the wrong things, we habitually do the wrong things, and and we end up one day realizing, how have I become so bitter? How have we become so negative in life? So in other words, we desperately need our hearts to be oriented to the right direction. We desperately need our hearts to be directed to the right person, the right perspective. And the Old Testament prophets, they were experts in understanding human nature. Particularly in the book of Ezekiel and Jeremiah, they lived their entire career speaking to the Israelites, who were infamous for being unfaithful to God, right? They're literally, their whole story is about unfaithfulness to God. And so they understood, they're experts about human nature and human heart. And this is what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah is, of course, he's known as a pretty pessimistic guy. He's also called the weeping prophet. And this is what he says about the human heart. He says in chapter 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And again, this comes from his experience of speaking to the Israelites. And elsewhere, he talks about the need for a new heart. It's not going to happen if they're going to try to change, because the heart is already deceitful. Ezekiel chapter 11, another prophet, he says, I will give them one heart and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from the flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Chapter 36, 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. The prophets, Ezekiel and Jeremiah and others as well, they know that in order to change, it's not hammering them with rules and rules. It's about changing the heart, changing the desires of the people. They knew that in order for there to be redemption, there has to be a new heart, a new spirit. And of course, for the book of Proverbs, the text that we are looking at these days, you might recall that the book of Proverbs was primarily written for young boys as they are trained in education, words of wisdom, how to live. The book of Proverbs, there's a certain optimism to the book of Proverbs in that if you study and if you're properly instructed, the book of Proverbs thinks that young boys, young children can live good and wise lives. And of course, trusting in God's help. And the message that the book of Proverbs tells us is, going back to all the way to the previous, I think it's in verse 23, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. The thing to do is to guard our hearts, to be intentional, to be focused, to be disciplined in our hearts, and to focus on doing what is right. And this involves to guard our hearts daily, to take care of our hearts, to tend. Remember the metaphor that we used last week, tending, like tending the garden, to take care of the hearts. And to recognize that sometimes even our own hearts can be hard to understand. Sometimes we don't understand our hearts, the bitterness or the sadness or the anger, frustration. Sometimes the heart, as Jeremiah says, can be deceitful. But to guard and to tend is to take care of it, just like we would do as for a garden. Of course, for us in the New Testament, we have hope because we have Jesus. And this is what Jesus tells us in John, tells the listeners in John chapter 7, 37 to 38. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Commentators say that here, Jesus is specifically talking about Proverbs 4, 23, the one we just read, that when you believe in Jesus, when you put your faith in Jesus, when Jesus transforms you, our heart becomes what Proverbs 4 says. It is a wellspring of goodness and fruitfulness that comes out. Elsewhere, he says in John chapter 3, 3 to 8, talking to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. There's a finality to that, right? You must be born again. You can't receive the blessing, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven without having been born again. In other words, a new spirit and a new heart. It is a spirit that gives us new heart and new life. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, you might know well, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. We have a new heart and a new spirit. So in the context of what Jesus does for us, Jesus gives us a new heart and he gives us a new spirit. And yet we are told to continue to love the Lord with all our heart. We are told to believe in Jesus, believe in your heart, if you believe in your heart. So even though, yes, Jesus gives us a new heart, we must continue to guard our hearts, as Proverbs chapter 4 tells us. You must continue to tend and to take care of our own hearts daily and every moment. And I would like to offer a few practical things. You might probably have your own other things as well, but I thought to guard our hearts means to do this. And these are really practical, maybe useful, maybe not, but it comes out of my own reflection. To guard our hearts means, firstly, to get honest with our heart. Because like I said, we mask it with so many pretensions and so many narratives. Sometimes we don't understand why we do the things that we do. It means to, first of all, to get honest with our heart. Secondly, to speak to your heart. The text that Jenny read earlier from Psalm 42. If you keep going, keep reading, David says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you forlorn within me? Put your hope in God. He speaks to his heart and he's telling his heart, why are you angry or why are you downcast or whatever it is that we may have in our heart. Speak to your heart, tell your heart to put your hope in Christ, in God, because that is the wise thing to do. Sometimes, as I mentioned, we don't know what is in our heart. But the good news is that God can search our hearts, as we are told in Psalm 139. You have searched me and you know my heart. Even before a word is on my lips, you know it already. God knows us through and through, even when we don't know what is in our hearts sometimes, right? So pray that God will search our hearts. Pray because God knows us. Psalm 44:21 that I referenced there as well. We are told that God knows our hearts, what is in our hearts. And God searches our hearts when we ask Him to, when we pray to Him. Then pray for healing of our hearts. Healing of our hearts can only come from God. We cannot change our own hearts. And it is only God who can heal us. Jesus gives us a new heart and heals us from our brokenness and from our anxieties. And so we pray for healing from hearts. We pray for strength. And once that is done, we practice it. We love the Lord with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the practical implication of having the right heart. To have the right heart is not about having some esoterical peace of mind, you know, like meditating. No, to have the right heart is to love God. To have the right heart is to love others as you love yourself. And so once we have taken care of our hearts, tended our hearts, we're not tending our hearts so that we can keep it perfect in a box. We are tending our hearts so that we might love God and we might love one another. So I want to invite us to think about ourselves then. How is your heart? How is your heart today? And more specifically, if I may say, what do we allow in our lives to control our hearts? To take a completely random, a completely different example. As I prayed earlier, we have seen what's happening in different parts of England, of the UK. There are riots going on. And one of the unfortunate interesting realization is that many of these riots came from lies and false allegations that were circulated on social media. And that was the trigger for people going out and doing all this madness. But if you actually dig deeper, it doesn't just come from that. It comes from years and years of rot, of misinformation that has taken root in the hearts of people. The bitterness that has been growing in the hearts, right? And it just took that trigger for what happened in the previous few weeks for this to erupt. And I was following one YouTube vlogger who goes to these protest riots. And one of the things he kept saying was, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this is happening in the UK. This is in London. I can't believe it's happening. And of course, for me, in my own context, in India and others, I've not been part of it, but I have witnessed riots happening. And what's amazing about this is that it's not just that one event. It's that years and years of rot and of wounds that has not been healed properly. Of course, that's a bit of a stark example, but I think that has been made quite clear in front of us that something like that can happen even when things had looked so peaceful. We can think of other things as well. We live in a world that's full of advertisements, that's trying to sell us something, that's trying to change the way we think about one another, we think about things, we think about our work. Do we allow these things to control our hearts? Do we allow these ads, these advertisements, these flashy pictures that we take in every day for better and for worse? Do we allow them, the culture, the ethos of this world of money, of pride, of arrogance, do we allow them to influence our heart? I think the important thing is to guard ourselves and guard our loved ones from the things that mess with our desires, that messes with our appetites, right? The things that give us discontent, the things that give us pride or greed, the things that give us lust, the things that makes us selfish, that gives us the ethos of selfishness, of anger, of bitterness, that turns us away from friendship, true friendship, that takes us away from family, from relationships. Over the past few months, we've been talking about healthy relations to work, healthy relations to your body, healthy relations to one another, the things that take us away from those healthy relations to maybe your work or your ambitions or career or self or even to others. What are the things, and do we allow these things to influence and move our hearts? Because every small steps that we take on a daily basis can have a compounding effect, and we might find ourselves walking on the road of darkness. So I think we need to daily ask ourselves, how is your heart? What is your desires? Where are your hopes in? And not just that, what are the things that bring you joy? What are the things that makes you proud? And pride itself is not necessarily bad, but it can also be quite revealing of what is truly in our heart. Or ask, what is it that is making you feel broken? What is it that's making you feel defeated or anxious in life? What are the fears that you have deep in your heart? Maybe it's because of the lack of hope, lack of trust in who God is and what God has promised in us. Again, if you keep reading Psalm 42, it's right there, the way he talks to his own soul. Put your trust in God. That is almost a solution, an answer to all of these things we are talking about here. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God. Choose to love God. Choose to love one another. And of course, when you say like this, it feels impossible. It feels impossible because how can we guard ourselves against all of these things that have a tendency to lead us away? And of course, that's why we need God's help. We need God's healing. That's why it's an act of grace. It's not an act of works, ultimately. It's God who saves us and God who heals us. And of course, the best thing, I think, has to be Proverbs 4:18, the promise. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Remember when I was talking about how small bad things compound to darkness? The reverse is true as well. When we obey, when we have small steps of faithfulness, of obedience, it's like walking to the dawn. It's sure that daylight is ahead of us. We keep walking with faith in the promise, in the path of righteousness, and there is daylight in front of us. So the promise is right there. And of course, in the New Testament, in the book of 2 Corinthians, we have these two marvelous texts that we can take away as our assurance. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And Paul goes on to say, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So the message for us, the gentle prodding of the book of Proverbs for us today is guard our hearts in all earnestness. Guard our hearts, for that is the wellspring of life. Above all else, guard our heart, for everything you do flows from it. Let our lives be lived habitually on the path of righteousness, and we find ourselves in the light of day as we keep walking. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you invite us to the life of righteousness, not because we are deserving, not because we are able, but because you have created us to be yours, to be your people, the people of light. And we thank you, Lord, that even though we live in a world that that is full with things that distract us, that turn us away from you, we can also put our trust in you. We thank you, Lord, that we have the Spirit living in us who points us in the right direction, who counsels us, and who leads us in the right direction. So, Lord, help us as we decide to guard our hearts and the hearts of our loved ones, that you keep us from harm and danger. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.